Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and let's look at the tea leaves after last night's election results. Yesterday, Virginians elected the Democrat Terry McAuliffe to be their new governor, a narrow win over Tea Party candidate Ken Cuccinelli. The Republican Chris Christie won re-election in a landslide in New Jersey. Many cities elected new mayors, including New York, where Bill de Blasio will become the city's first Democratic mayor in more than 20 years.
In Detroit, Mike Duggan became that city's first white mayor in 40 years. In Alabama's 1st congressional district, Republican Bradley Byrne defeated Tea Party candidate Dean Young in that congressional runoff. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving is here. He has brought his teacup. And Ron, glance in. Give us an overarching first. Some analysts are pointing to the Tea Party losses in Virginia and Alabama as proof that voters are rejecting that wing of the GOP. Others are looking there and pointing to how close both races were as proof that the Tea Party is still strong. You say what?
Both sides have a point. The Tea Party did not get a win. That's really the bottom line. In politics, it doesn't matter if you lose by 5 or 10 points or if you lose by a bucket at the buzzer, you lost. And so the Tea Party did not get a win. They don't have a new champion. They don't have somebody they can point to as their new superstar. They would have loved to have made Ken Cuccinelli that person. They probably would have been happy with Dean Young, the guy in South Alabama that you mentioned a moment ago, who lost to Bradley Byrne, a more establishment Republican there in that congressional district around Mobile, Alabama. But look, we're down to talking about individual congressional districts here. And there really isn't a big national picture to be drawn from one congressional district, or really even from a couple of gubernatorial races.
Oh, interesting, because I know Jeremy is going to want to ask you about that. But let's stay with Virginia. Here's a Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, making his victory speech.
I know this has been a hard-fought race. Part of that, as you know, is the nature of politics. And part of it was that the Attorney General and I had some very big differences on some very important issues.
So very big differences between Terry McAuliffe and the Tea Party candidate, Ken Cuccinelli, but also other issues at work here. What was going on in this race?
Probably the biggest things that were going on were beyond the control of either of the candidates. Mm. The first thing was the government shutdown in October. That had been the dominant issue in this campaign in the month of October as we were walking up to the actual election day. And of course, in Northern Virginia in particular, the government shutdown was terribly unpopular. There are a lot of federal employees there, a lot of federal contractors there, many people who make their living off of those groups of people and from the federal government in general. They were unhappy enough with the sequester. It made them quite ready to vote for or against somebody, and the first opportunity they were going to have was this race. Then the government shutdown ended, and suddenly all the attention in the media, as you well know, shifted over to the problems of the Obamacare healthcare.gov website and the broken promise or apparent broken promise of the president saying everyone can keep their insurance if they're happy with it, and suddenly finding out that for some fraction of America, numbered in the millions of individuals, that's not going to be the case. So those were killer issues all of a sudden on the other side, and Ken Cuccinelli absolutely went all in on the Obamacare question. And legitimately on his part, he was one of the very first people in the country, the attorneys general, who went to court trying to block Obamacare, trying to stop it, suing, taking the case to the Supreme Court. He's really been there from day one, and he had every right to go after Obamacare in these last days. Now, of course, in the end, he does not, as governor of Virginia, have much control over that issue eventually, and neither does Terry McAuliffe have much control over government shutdowns, but they were the big issues, and those were the issues on which these two rose and fell.
You know, before we move on to New Jersey and with Jeremy, it was so interesting to watch that race because it was a reminder to politicians, don't gloat, because it was such a seesaw nature. You never know when the next anvil to fall out of the sky is going to be your issue.
You know, healthcare. Especially. Yeah. Yes, especially when you're awaiting the results of some kind of a contest that's taking place outside of your control and jurisdiction.
That's right.
Ron, what about New Jersey? Let's listen first of all to Chris Christie, who, as we said, won in a landslide there. Here he is speaking last night.
I know that tonight a dispirited America, angry with their dysfunctional government in Washington, looks to New Jersey to say, is what I think happening really happening? Are people really coming together?
And I guess the big question here is what Chris Christie just did in New Jersey specific to his brand of politics in New Jersey, or is this what Republicans are going to be looking for as they look to 2016?
Yes, it is specific to his particular personality and his brand of politics and how his sort of tough-talking, big guy, Tony Soprano act came on at a very specific moment in New Jersey history and did very, very well, and at a time when the Democrats were really back on their heels, to put it nicely. And at that point, he also struck a magnificent sort of politician's bargain, if you will, with Barack Obama and Cory Booker. And Cory Booker, of course, went on to win the Senate seat in that state that possibly Chris Christie could have been interested in himself. And Chris Christie is free to pursue a re-election campaign as governor, whereby he gets elected with a 60% margin, and President Obama doesn't really exercise himself to find a candidate to run against Chris Christie. Oh, and yes, a year ago in that week after the Hurricane Sandy hit, and the president and the governor of New Jersey walked arm in arm down the damaged rows of houses. Fabulous imagery for both of them. All of this does not have to be spelled out in any sort of written way or even directly articulated way. It's a kind of implicit treaty, if you will, and it has worked very specifically for Chris Christie, and he thinks he can market it nationally, and that's why the speech he just gave could have just as easily doubled as a presidential campaign announcement speech.
Well, although there was a lot of analysis when Chris Christie put that special election for Cory Booker's seat where he did, that he didn't want Cory Booker to be on the ballot the same day as him because Booker would drive out a lot of Democratic support, and it might hurt Christie. It looks now, given the results, that he didn't really have anything to worry about.
No, but you know, it's funny about things like that. If you go back several months and you structure this thing entirely differently, then you have at the very least a sharing of the glory between Booker and Chris Christie on this one election night. That's at the very minimum. And that's if, of course, Cory Booker couldn't help propel some other Democratic candidate to a better showing. Let's face it, I mean, the Democratic candidate, a lovely woman, Barbara Buono from the state legislature, just got no real support from the National Party, no real financial support, no real backing. And, you know, it was scarcely even a competitive candidacy. So there was an understanding here. And again, I'm not implying anything that's underhanded or that isn't politics as usual. I'm just saying that it all has worked out very well for the governor, and that I think a lot of Democrats like to see him do well in this election so as to pose an alternative to the kind of Tea Party Republicanism they don't like.
Hey, Ron Elving, just one quick question about that in the brief time that we have. We mentioned the first congressional district race in Alabama. Bradley Byrne was very much supported by the business community, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, very conservative group. And, of course, he beat the Tea Party candidate. Just your thoughts on where the money was flowing in that race. Again, you say don't extrapolate from one district in Alabama, but is the business community in the Republican Party moving away from the Tea Party? Do you see something important there?
Yes, and the business community and the Tea Party are very much at loggerheads. We saw it in the government shutdown. We saw it in this particular race. We're going to see it again and again in 2014 and in 2016.
Well, thank you. That was brief. Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. You can now drink your tea. Thanks so much.
Thank you both.